This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The email scandal deepens. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, May 26th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what's up this hour.
An inspector general is contradicting Hillary Clinton's assertion that she had approval for a private email server, and also says she failed to disclose the hackers tried to break into her account.
11 states have filed a lawsuit against the Obama administration's policy regarding transgender bathroom use in public schools.
The lead prosecutor, who's put Baltimore cops on trial in the Freddie Gray case, is now 0-2. What now for Marilyn Mosby?
And in sports, the athlete putting together an epic farewell tour.
Well, David Ortiz says he's planning on retiring at the end of this season. He said this in winter, I think maybe November, December. He put this up there that this will be his last season. Everyone's sad. Big farewell tour. Well, the only problem is he's been the best player in the major leagues at this point at age 40.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jared Diamond on Big Poppy dropping the mic as he prepares to hang up his hat and glove. That story in about 20 minutes. More problems for Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. An independent watchdog says her use of a private email server and her lax record keeping while Secretary of State violated department policies. An inspector general contradicted Mrs. Clinton's argument that her exclusive use of a private email server while running the State Department was permitted. He said she had an obligation to discuss her email setup with the State Department, but didn't do it. She addressed the issue on Univision.
I have turned over all of my emails. No one else can say that. I have been incredibly open about doing that. I will continue to be open.
She did not turn over all her emails, by the way. There were an estimated 30,000 that were withheld that she said were just personal ones. The inspector general also concluded that Mrs. Clinton failed to report hacking attempts and waved off warnings that she should switch to a more official email account, telling staffers to, quote, never speak of the secretary's personal email system again. At least one person was killed and three wounded in a shooting during a rap concert in New York City last night. Screaming concertgoers scattered in a chaotic scene posted on social media. The New York Times says an unidentified 33-year-old man was killed in the shooting at Irving Plaza in Manhattan shortly after 10 o'clock, just before Grammy Award-winning rapper T.I. took the stage. Police Chief William Aubrey is head of the Manhattan South Detectives.
We have recovered ballistic evidence, and the crime scene search is continuing at this time.
The incident began with a fight in a third-floor green room between two rival crews of performers. Performers Mano and Uncle Murda were on the stage at the time, warm-up acts for T.I. Three men and one woman were shot in the incident. In 2015, by the way, last year, two people were wounded in a shooting at a North Carolina nightclub featuring the same performer, T.I. The Obama administration is being sued by 11 states over its directive telling schools to let transgender students use any bathrooms they want, calling the policy a massive social experiment. The states, led by Texas, accused the federal government of rewriting laws by administrative fiat. 2 weeks ago, you'll recall, amid a national debate on transgender rights, President Obama's administration told public schools that transgender students must be allowed to use the bathroom of their choice or risk losing federal funding. Ken Paxton is the attorney general in Texas.
We're taking this action to protect Herald Independent School District, which on Monday night fulfilled a responsibility to their community by adopting a bathroom policy that puts the safety of their students first.
The lawsuit by the states accuses the federal government of overstepping its constitutional powers by taking actions that should be left to Congress or individual states. It also challenged the Obama administration's interpretation of federal civil rights law with regard to sex and gender. It's 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Let's take a moment to share a message from our sponsor, Google. You might be surprised how many people are looking for your business on Google every day, not necessarily by name, but by the products or services that your business offers. When people are searching for these things, it means they're interested in them, and that's exactly when your business should be there. The good news is it's easy to make that happen. Just run an ad on Google. You don't have to be a marketing genius either. Creating an ad takes just a few minutes. Head on over to g.co/GordonDeal to learn more. There's even a special offer waiting for you. That's g.co/GordonDeal.
Blocking out the noise and bringing you the facts. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Glad you could be with us on this Thursday. Two Baltimore police officers facing criminal charges in the death of Freddie Gray are suing the city's top prosecutor for defamation. Officer William Porter and Sergeant Alicia White filed the suit against Baltimore State's attorney Marilyn Mosby. Meanwhile, when a judge this past Monday cleared Officer Edward Nero in Mr. Gray's death, it gave the chief prosecutor, Ms. Mosby, a record of 0-2 in this case. There are six officers charged. More on her performance from New York Times national correspondent Cheryl Gay Stolberg. Cheryl, explain your story.
People may remember that a year ago, Marilyn Mosby stood on the steps of the Baltimore War Memorial. The city was erupting into riots. The National Guard was in the streets, and she said, "I heard your call for no justice, no peace. I need your peace as I work to deliver justice on behalf of this young man." Two trials have occurred so far. One ended in a hung jury, and the other ended just this week in an acquittal. And so she's in a tough spot right now.
What are the legal experts saying who've been observing this stuff? Obviously, most of us haven't been in the courtrooms for these things, but explain how some of the pundits see it.
Well, from the outset, legal experts said it was going to be tough to get convictions in these cases. Ms. Mosby brought a wide array of charges against these six officers, including murder in some cases, not the case of the officers who've already been tried. And they've always said, experts have always said, that this was going to be a heavy lift, that these were complicated cases, that no one actually saw how Freddie Gray sustained the spinal cord injury that experts say ultimately killed him. Prosecutors say that injury happened inside the back of a closed police van. So these were always going to be tough cases to win. And so far, in the first case, jury found a hung jury against Officer William Porter, who was tried with manslaughter and reckless endangerment. And in this last case, it was a judge trial, not a jury trial, and Officer William Nero was acquitted of some lesser charges than endangerment and manslaughter. He was charged with assault and other charges.
We're speaking with Cheryl Gay Stolberg, national correspondent at the New York Times, who covers the Mid-Atlantic region. We're talking about her piece entitled "Two Trials and No Convictions Puts Baltimore Prosecutor in a Bind." I know at least one person in your story said that she didn't feel Ms. Mosby was aggressive enough with charges, but there are some, too, who say she may have overreached and tried to get too much, correct?
Right. Well, this is really the reason that she's in a tough spot. Ms. Mosby is a young prosecutor. She's African-American. She's a daughter and granddaughter of police officers, and she really came out swinging against these officers, and in so doing, enraged a lot of people in Baltimore, many of them white, who said that she had no business bringing charges in the first place, that she overcharged. She pleased a lot of her supporters, many of them black at the time, but some are growing impatient with her, and some are saying that she's not been as aggressive in prosecuting cases of police misconduct against other officers when the spotlight hasn't been as bright as it was in the case of Freddie Gray.
What about her relationship with the police department at this point? Any way to measure that, Cheryl?
Well, it's tough. It's very strained. Look, any prosecutor depends on police officers to win convictions, right? Who testifies in criminal trials against, you know, alleged criminals? Police officers. But she's really gone after the police, and she's risked her relationship with a very important constituency, the department itself. The police officers' union is, you know, up in arms over her, and they, of course, say that, you know, she overcharged. So she's, you know, she's got it coming from all sides.
Yeah. Does she still have support, or is it too difficult to gauge that?
I think she does have some support. She's, I would say, got institutional support in Baltimore. Baltimore's a city that is two-thirds African-American, and there's a very deep and entrenched black power structure in Baltimore. So it was interesting to hear, for instance, Billy Murphy, who is the lawyer for Freddie Gray's family, come out after the verdict, after this police officer was acquitted by the judge. He came out and he said that the judge had done his job. And he also, in an interview with me, which wasn't part of this story, had very kind words for Marilyn Mosby. He's been a supporter of hers, and he's she's getting, I guess I would say, credit for trying.
Okay.
So from people who've been critics of the police, from the black community, some are giving her an E for effort. I think, you know, the real test of that will be in 2018 when she runs for re-election.
Thanks, Cheryl. Cheryl Gay Stolberg, New York Times national correspondent. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a State Department audit has found that Hillary Clinton and her team ignored clear guidance from the department that her email set up broke federal standards and could leave sensitive material vulnerable to hackers. The review also revealed that hacking attempts forced then-Secretary of State Clinton off email at one point in 2011, though she insists the personal server she used was never breached. Mark Toner is State Department spokesman.
We could have done a better job at preserving emails and records of secretaries of state and their senior staff going back, frankly, several administrations, so back to before Secretary Clinton.
The report found that former Secretary of State Colin Powell also exclusively used private email. Donald Trump's national political director, Rick Wiley, is no longer with the team after taking the position just 6 weeks ago. A campaign source says Wiley was largely uncommunicative with the field staff that were in place long before he was hired. The House has reversed itself and approved a measure aimed at upholding an executive order that bars discrimination against LGBT employees by federal contractors. More than 40 Republicans helped Democrats power the gay rights measure over the opposition of GOP conservatives who dominate the chamber. At least four people were shot, one fatally, at a concert in New York City last night. Hip-hop artist T.I. was headlining a concert at the venue at the time, but it was a couple of warm-up acts that were performing when the gunfire erupted. NYPD Chief William Aubrey spoke after the incident, which happened around 10:15 near Manhattan's Union Square.
We have identified four gunshot victims, three males, one female. One of the males, unfortunately, has been pronounced dead.
Detectives are interviewing witnesses and canvassing video to identify other witnesses. For a budding author, what could be better than getting some inspiration from Ernest Hemingway? Organizers of the Florida Keys Flash Fiction Contest have announced that an Irish author has won a 10-day writing stint in Hemingway's Key West study. Denise Woods of Cork County beat out more than 2,000 contestants who submitted entries. Hemingway penned several of his classics in the study where Woods will get to write.
All right. I don't like writing.
Okay.
Even though I do it every day, right, preparing for the show.
Yeah.
But I think it might be fun to be there.
Oh, it'd be pretty good.
And
pretty
then
cool.
When you're finished, go to a Jimmy Buffett concert, sit on a surfboard in the water while he plays. Right? How's that for a day?
Sounds pretty Key Westish to
right?
me.
23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Much of the time, aging athletes end their careers with a farewell tour that can be cringeworthy. Poor Kobe Bryant of the Lakers pretty much hobbled around the court this past season. But then there's David Ortiz, who's saying goodbye to baseball by utterly dominating the rest of the league.
Big Poppy swings and hammers one. That is a mother of a home run on Mother's Day. Two tonight, and it is 4-0 Red Sox.
With two more RBIs last night, by the way, he's tied for most in the majors with 43. And at age 40, He's hitting 333. It's a story from Wall Street Journal sports reporter Jared Diamond. Jared, what'd you put together?
It's tough. He's going through this whole farewell tour where everyone is saying their goodbyes. And I think it would be a little awkward for him then to say, actually, all these nice gifts that you gave me, I'm just going to hold on to them for another year. We'll do this all again in 2017. Look, I guess everyone has a price. I don't know how much money the Red Sox might offer it to try to come back. But here's the thing. He's been doing this a long time. And while he's making it look very easy right now, we don't know how he feels, what he's had to put his body through. And I think sometimes somebody just knows. It might not be an issue of whether or not he still can play, but whether he just still wants to. And it's hard to blame somebody after doing this for two decades for maybe saying, I've had enough.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal sports writer Jared Diamond. His piece is called David Ortiz Drops the Mic on His Way Out the Door. You got a great line in which you say, most of the time watching an athlete's farewell tour is a lot like going to your nephew's third grade play, meaning you kind of suffer through it. But, I mean, how good has Ortiz been?
The best. He is having, at this point, now it's still only May and a lot could change, but is having the best final season of anybody in history so far, to anyone who's ever stopped playing. And what's quite fascinating about the list of peers, these guys that also had these great last seasons, most of them didn't retire voluntarily. And you see Barry Bonds is one of these guys. He wanted to keep playing after 2007 and essentially couldn't get a contract. No one signed him, probably due to his best connections to performance-enhancing drugs. David Ortiz is not that guy. David Ortiz, as far as we know, is just choosing to walk away, really, when he's as good as he's ever been. Now, look, it's only May, and we may get to September, and we realize that it's probably for the best. It's a long season still ahead. He may not be able to sustain this. But as far as I'm concerned, we should just enjoy it for as long as we can because he's been such a great player for so long.
Agreed. Wall Street Journal sports reporter Jared Diamond. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to a state that's a top 10 pro-business state, where 2,000 unnecessary regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years? And is now home to the sixth best entrepreneurial climate. All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice for your business. Go to michiganbusiness.org to learn more.
Here's to the innovators and job creators. Dell is proud to support small businesses everywhere with reliable, award-winning technology powered by Intel Core processors, created to give your business 4 times faster performance and cut downtime by 50%. During Small Business Month, enjoy 35% off select business PCs, plus always get free shipping and advice from Dell's dedicated experts. Visit Dell.com/radio to discover how we can help you do your best work. Intel inside, powerful solution outside.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Thursday, May 26th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Hillary Clinton taken to task by an independent watchdog over failing to follow State Department guidelines for her email setup. 11 states sue the Obama administration over its transgender policy in schools. The VA reportedly declared thousands of living veterans to be dead over the past 5 years. And the Wall Street Journal says on top of that, they canceled their benefits. Katie Couric under fire for the way a documentary on guns was edited. Another SpaceX launch scheduled for today. And the 6-year-old who can spell better than almost everybody. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, on paper, this has been a fairly tumultuous year for President Obama, right? His senior foreign policy strategist admitted to spinning misleading narratives to sell a controversial nuclear deal with Iran. The economy continues to struggle. There's been a spike in violent crime in most of the largest U.S. cities. There's the transgender bathroom controversy, of course. Yet as the general election campaign begins, Josh Krauthaar at National Journal says Mr. Obama enjoys his highest approval rating in the past 2 years. Josh, explain.
Well, the big question that I tried to address in this column is that despite some signs that the economy is slowing down, despite more voters than have in quite some time say that the country is headed on the wrong track as opposed to the right track, and despite all those negative indicators that we've seen in recent months, the president's job approval rating is at a two-year high. It's almost 50% in the average of polls. So, you know, there's sort of a disconnect between how voters see what's happening in the country and how they view things and how they view the president.
How much of that is, say, the Trump and Clinton campaigns, I don't know, taking a spotlight off of him? Like, you know, you mentioned the Ben Rhodes controversy, for example, or, you know, the investigation into Mrs. Clinton's email practices. Is that an effect? Is it sort of he's winning by losing, for example, or something?
I mean, sure, maybe he hasn't gotten as much scrutiny and attention because of the presidential campaign. But, you know, look, like the campaign, or at least the Republican side of the campaign, was pretty ruthless towards the president, at least at the outset. And you just have just a drip of what normally would be pretty bad news for an administration. I mean, whether it's the economy, I mean, that's the biggest indicator on how a president's party is going to do in the upcoming election. And we've had some serious signs of the slowest quarterly growth in a couple of years last month. There's some serious worries when it comes to the long-term health of the economy. Obama's own FBI director is starting to warn the and wave the red flag that the violent crime is really dangerously on the rise in some of the biggest cities in the country. These are things that usually would drop a president's job approval rating down and hurt his party in the upcoming election. Now, Hillary Clinton has her own problems, and what makes it so interesting is that Obama's job approval is on the rise, and yet Hillary Clinton isn't able, at least quite yet, to take advantage of his own popularity.
Yeah. I think, too, it's interesting, maybe, and you would know this more so than me, but does this mean there's kind of less of a lame duck fatigue for a guy who's been in office, you know, almost 8 years?
Well, it cuts both ways. I mean, when pollsters ask the question, would you want to see Obama run for a third term, or would you support him if he ran again? There is a desire for change. He doesn't register a whole lot of support in that category. Right. But when you compare Obama's job approval and his favorability and his popularity and all those attributes against Hillary Clinton or other leading Democrats, he does quite well. So there's this real disconnect in how voters perceive of the president and, frankly, how they perceive of his ability to shape events. You know, usually it's the president that takes blame or gets credit when good things happen or when bad things happen. But and as I touch on in the column, because of changes in the media, because people consume information in different ways than they did, say, a decade ago, the president has been able to be above it all. He's been able to kind of dodge a lot of the criticism that normally would devil any president.
We're speaking with Josh Krausehaar, politics editor at National Journal. His piece is called Obama Floats Above the Malaise. So how might President Obama compare to, say, former President Bush in his eighth and final year in terms of approval ratings? Because Mr. Bush went out kind of on a down note, right?
And that's putting it mildly. I mean, George W. Bush's job approval rating was barely 30% when he left office, and it was the middle of a horrible recession and the Iraq War, you know, only beginning to get better at that point in time. So, you know, Obama's that's what should be very frustrating for Hillary Clinton. I mean, usually there's a strong correlation between the popularity of the president leaving office and the candidate of his same party. But Hillary Clinton has actually seen her numbers stagnate or even get worse, even as Obama's have been going up.
Thanks, Josh. Josh Krausehaar, politics editor at National Journal. It's 21 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. They even give you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. And setup is easy, too. In just minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage, and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal. Thanks for being with us
on this Friday Eve. So on Twitter, Mike, I was referenced by Cameron Hughes Wine as having an itchy liver.
Is that a nice way of saying that you drink a little too much?
I don't know. I sent a friend of mine who just turned 50 a Cameron Hughes Wine package.
Yeah.
And as part of it, I said, listen, it was kind of selfish. I sent him a lot of wine because he's going to need help drinking. And I'm hoping he calls me over to drink it. And Cameron Hughes tweeted back saying, well, you're a generous soul. And yes, you have an itchy liver.
I like that. So I'm going to use that. I'm stealing that from Cameron. I have a few friends who have itchy livers, so I can use that on.
Itchy liver. Hashtag itchy liver. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. So you want to launch a nuclear missile, do you? Well, it could be tough unless you can get your hands on a floppy disk. According to a new report by the U.S. Government Accountability Office, the Pentagon is still using 1970s-era computing systems that require 8-inch floppy disks. CNN.com says that such disks were already becoming obsolete by the end of that decade, replaced by the 5.25-inch and then the 3.5-inch disks that you remember before being replaced completely by CDs in the 90s, pretty much everywhere except in Washington. The GAO reports that U.S. government departments spend upwards of $60 billion a year on operating and maintaining out-of-date technologies. Thankfully, the report says the Pentagon is planning to replace its floppy systems, which currently handle such menial tasks as coordinating ICBMs, nuclear bombers, and tanker support aircraft by the end of 2017.
Wow.
8-inch floppy disk. I was talking to Jen about this. I don't even think I remember the floppy disk being that big. I remember the 5.25-inch floppy disks that were still pretty floppy.
Yes.
And then the 3.5-inch disks, which I think we even still had some around this office up until about 5 years ago.
Right.
You know, those were little. They weren't really floppy. They called them floppy disks, but they were kind of hard.
Plastic.
Hard plastic. Yeah. I remember the 5.25 ones. I don't remember 8-inch ones.
You're right. I don't either. I was thinking, oh, yeah, I remember those. But now that you mention
that's super old school.
Right. Holy cow.
That's like before Atari old school. That's how far back that goes.
Intercontinental ballistic missiles.
Yes. Make sure you bring your
nuclear bombers.
Discs.
Oh, that is unbelievable. And what will they argue? That they didn't want to spend the money or they didn't have the money at the time? Now it's cost, a gajillion times more to try to upgrade.
Well, apparently, from what I've read, it costs more to maintain these old systems than it would have to replace them.
Of course.
So they should have replaced them 20 years ago, and it would have been a lot less. But it's costing us more, of course, of our taxpayer dollars to maintain the floppy disk system.
Well, listen, national security is overrated, isn't it?
It's hard to get your hands on a Commodore 64 when you need one to launch a missile, you know? And apparently, Gordon, it's rare to be both female and like baseball. At least that's what one clothing brand wants you to think. The sports apparel company Live Love Game Day has been taking some heat for selling a shirt that reads, "Girls who love baseball are rare. Wife 'em up." The Dallas-based retailer has been taking some flack on social media for implying that only men like watching baseball and making the statement that a woman would fake enthusiasm for the sport only to be proven worthy of being, quote, wifed up.
Wifed up.
SB Nation points out that women, in fact, represent roughly 45% to 47% of those in attendance at Major League Baseball games these days.
Yes, but probably accompanied by men.
Oftentimes,
just generalizing, right? This is not something where girls, generally speaking, are like, hey, ladies, let's go out to a game, you know, tonight or something.
My wife loves baseball, but I don't remember that being a factor in deciding on whether or not I was going to wife her up or not. I think there were other factors at work.
How long ago did you get wifed up, by the way?
Well, we're going on 11 years
11
now.
Years? Yeah. Very good. Wifing up. Wow, I could see where that wouldn't sit too well.
Yeah. Not telling my wife about
we'll just
that.
Leave it at
that much.
It's 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Obama says world leaders are rattled by Donald Trump and have good reason to feel that way. The president told reporters in Japan today that foreign leaders are surprised by Trump.
They are not sure how seriously to take some of his pronouncements. But they're rattled by it.
The president added that many of Trump's proposals display ignorance about world affairs, a cavalier attitude, or an interest in getting tweets and headlines. About 20 homes were damaged or destroyed last night in northern Kansas after a large tornado passed through. Trooper Ben Gardner, a spokesman for the State Highway Patrol, says troopers checked portions of Dickinson County.
We have came across multiple homes, some that are slightly damaged to completely removed from the face of the earth and are no longer in existence.
At least 14 tornado sightings were reported in Kansas, Oklahoma, and Missouri. More dangerous weather expected today and tomorrow. 11 states have filed a lawsuit over President Obama's transgender bathroom directive. The suit goes after, among others, the Justice and Education Departments over the directive, accusing them of turning workplaces and schools into laboratories for a massive social experiment. The administration's directive says public schools should allow transgender students to use bathrooms that match their gender identities or face losing federal aid for breaching Title IX requirements. South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley has signed a bill into law that makes it illegal for a woman to obtain an abortion after her pregnancy reaches 20 weeks. Abortions may be performed after 20 weeks only if the mother's life is in jeopardy. It does not provide exceptions for rape or incest. This makes South Carolina the 13th state to enforce such a ban. LeBron James, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving each had more than 20 points as Cleveland ripped Toronto 116-78 last night. Head coach Tyronn Lue likes what he's seeing.
With Kyrie and Kevin playing the way they've been playing throughout these playoffs, it just makes it easier for LeBron. And when he needs to take over a game, I'm pretty sure you will see that.
The Cavaliers now have a 3-2 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals.
When was the last time we had a close game in the NBA playoffs?
I know. It's remarkable. They're like 30-point wins every night.
Somebody I was with last night told me there's been something like 17 games that have been decided by 20 or more points.
Let's hope the finals are a little more
I agree.
Interesting.
Holy cow. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Coming up next, the 6-year-old who can spell a 45-letter word called pneumo something or other. Let's take a moment to share a message from our sponsor, Google. You might be surprised how many people are looking for your business on Google every day, not necessarily by name, but by the products or services that your business offers. When people are searching for these things, it means they're interested in them, and that's exactly when your business should be there. The good news is it's easy to make that happen. Just run an ad on Google. You don't have to be a marketing genius either. Creating an ad takes just a few minutes. Head on over to g.co/GordonDeal to learn more. There's even a special offer waiting for you. That's g.co/GordonDeal. If you like to bet, you might put a few bucks on a future Spelling Bee contestant to win it all. Just 6 years old, Akash Vakoti is by far the youngest contestant at this year's National Spelling Bee. He was 2 when his family discovered his almost scary talent. He's not much on chit-chat, but he loves to spell. CBS News says he also loves to show off. His favorite word, pneumo-nultra-microscopic-silico-volcanoconiosis. Longest word in the dictionary. And for Akash, it is child's play. He told CBS News the words, you know, they just appear to him. He says, when I say a letter, the letter in that word will disappear. However, late yesterday, he misspelled bacteriolytic and is out of the tournament. Got a standing ovation, though, and you can bet he'll be back next year. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.